Our first reading is to be found on page 194 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please stand. The Gospel reading will be found on page 49 of the New Testament sections of the Church Bible. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to the end. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, What she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out, went to the city, and found everything as he told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." All of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest and all the chief priests. The elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy!" The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well done, nearly 15-minute reading, and well done you for remaining standing. Just find someone friendly next to you and say how that struck you, other than that your knees are aching. Go on, off you go. Friends, I'm not able to join you for refreshments. Afterwards, you'll see me process out my bags by the AV system, which we've had struggles with this morning, and then I'm in my chariot, mercifully not on a donkey, to go to St. James Norton, where I'm leading the service there and preaching. Their priest or fill-in is not able to be with them. St. James Norton and St. Peter's Greenhill, affectionate and well-known to us, because lovely Harry took a team of people from here down there. They're due to get a new vicar at Ben Shires starting end of June. St. James is roughly about 20 or so folks. St. Peter's is sort of 30 to 40 on a good day. So we're trying to support them. Let me pray. Father, as we sit with each other, as we sit with open Bibles, we pray that our hearts would be open to you, and that you, the Lord of glory, who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, would enter our hearts and do his lovely transforming work. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great gifts and privileges of having a Bible before us, as we hear it read, as we think about its teaching, as we read it and think about it, the Spirit of God has inspired those pages. And if our hearts are open, and of course it's a big if, and we are so open to that same God who inspired the pages, then that same God will come to us. And how that happens is a total miracle to my mind. And you have to be very careful how you read it and what you say. So the responsibility of preachers and teachers is enormous. But I am of the view, and increasingly of the view, that it's not just the surface level of the text that you read that was inspired, as if kind of God bolted something out of the blue and all of a sudden there was printed matter on a page and we kind of soak it in. But it's all that went on underneath that to form it that's also the Word of God for us. Now, we are looking at Philippians 2, and at the end of that lovely reading, there is an incredible kind of easy-peasy way of working out how the Word of God can be the Word of God for us. And it's the word therefore. And I've been taught, and I'm now having a go at teaching you, work out what the therefore is. Get it? Therefore. And so Paul is saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he's going to say in verse 12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Immediately, there's a kind of bit of a head scratching going on there because, hold on a minute, I thought all this donkey business into Jerusalem, all that agony on Good Friday, all the empty tomb, well, it was all about Jesus. He's done it all. That's why I'm here. I can't do that. He's done it. He's my Saviour. I'm going to sit back and relax. I'm a Christian. It's not by works, Vicar. It's by grace. He's done it all. Except Paul's just written, you need to work at this. You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what's the therefore? Well, you need to think what Paul's just said in this wonderful, wonderful hymn or song to Christ's glory. According to one of my daughters, I'm increasingly listening to my daughters now, actually, but on this particular matter, I'm completely disobeying her. I said, can I tell this joke in church? And she said, no, you can't. There you go. Why is humility like underwear? Because we all need it, but it shouldn't show. I actually think that's quite a tasteful joke. You're not throwing tomatoes or eggs at me now. But that's one of the things that was going on in the church in Philippi. He humbled himself. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In humility, think of others better than yourself. That's under the surface what God's word is saying through Philippians to us. But what's fascinating to me is that Paul chooses a hymn or a worship song to encourage God's people in this lovely virtue of humility as Jesus Christ humbles himself, goes into Jerusalem on a humble foal and colt, an ultimate symbol of a king in majesty displaying humility. So the Philippian church was formed in houses. Remember, the Philippian jailer becomes a Christian, and then his whole household does, and they meet in houses. Do you remember Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth? The Lord opened her heart as Paul spoke the message. She was a businesswoman. She was a leader in the Mediterranean world. Thank God for great, powerful women. The church was founded on it. I love you all. The Lord opened her heart. She opened her home. She opened her bank balance. And the church of God was formed in houses. And they met together and they sang. And the Lord was with them. And as they sang great hymns about Jesus, Jesus was with them. Their hearts were melted. Their hearts were formed. Jesus Christ became present. Except a few years later, Paul felt he had to write something to them. You know all this joy you've got? You know all this lovely sense of the Lord being with you? You're starting to argue with each other. Euodion Syntyche, I plead with you. You women, will you please get on with each other? May I just say respectfully, have a go at treating other people better than you treat yourself. Here's how you're going to do it. Remember the songs and hymns of worship. And he puts it in there, inspired by the Spirit, into the written word. Think of this worship song, where the hairs on the back of your neck might stand up, where your heart is beating, where you're feeling love for Jesus who loves you. Think of these things all about Jesus. Therefore, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. It was a wonderful song all about Jesus. Dear friends, when have you had a long spiritual soak in the bath? I don't mean this literally, I mean it metaphorically. And it's all about Jesus. Read all your reports. Do all you want to in church, but it gets pretty miserable and joyless if you don't enjoy Jesus. Paul says, remember how you enjoyed him in song. Therefore, when you think of those things, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do you see what I mean about the Word of God not just being there on the surface, but it's how it's been fermenting underneath is also the Word of God for us. Lastly, what's probably, well, it is unique about Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the Philippian jailer, the dealer in purple cloth, all those wonderful, joyous Christians meeting together. If you look at the whole of the New Testament, the word gospel is mentioned with greater frequency per chapter, per number of verses, than any other part of the New Testament. I guess if you're wanting to say, Vicky, you can't say that joke in church about humility and underwear, if you get the Apostle Paul to come and say, it's all about humility, do you know what he'd say? You need to remember those times when you've most felt alive in worship. Say those songs to each other, read those hymns together, and also remember the gospel, that it's not about you, it's about him. All about him. That's what you need to work at. Revival came to our country a good few years ago now. Still praying will come to congregations and people's hearts and souls. Moody and Sankey, albeit he was an American, but he was a very good preacher. But he came with Sankey, who was a wonderful, wonderful hymn writer. And people released themselves in praise to Jesus. And it's not too difficult for an evangelist, let me tell you, to preach after people have been inhabited and filled with praise. Paul says that's how we should be, as humble Christians, filled with God's praise. And remember the gospel. Over and over and over he goes. It's the gospel, not about you. It's about him. It's about the him, not about you and all he's done for you. God bless whatever you're wearing underneath your beautiful garments. But may the Lord himself form the humble Christ within you, giving you joy and gospel-centered lives. In his name, amen. Father, help us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, whatever that might mean for us. We pray even now for a renewed sense of joy in singing, a renewed sense that the gospel of Christ is all about Jesus, and so focused, our lives will be increasingly blessed and the world changed. For Jesus' sake, amen.